Good evening and welcome to another edition of Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM, your community, your radio. Now, I have a brand new desk in front of me.
You're like the Starship Enterprise here, Kevin, waiting for us to go into warp drive.
Exactly, and Scotty, I am not.
So, but you're doing okay so far.
We have it working. We have you coming loud and clear. So, Lord willing, we're going to... talk about a new subject tonight, Stephen.
Yeah, it's sort of a once-off because I think Michael was supposed to be here originally and he can't be something else on. So we're doing a series in the church on brotherly love. So I wanted to do what I did as the introduction to that, why it's important. So that's what we'd be talking about. There's a lot of readings, but our main reading when we get to it is going to be from the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 4. And we're beginning to read at verse 7 if you want to have that reading ready.
Excellent. And tonight we start with a piece of music as usual, and this one is called Lifter of My Head. It's a paraphrase of Psalm 3 from the Psalms Project.
My God, for you have struck my enemies, you've broken their teeth.
And that was a version of Psalm 3. I played it before on the show, but it's a long time and I enjoyed it there. So 1 John chapter 4, if you have your Bible to hand, we're going to begin at verse 7. And the Apostle John says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now, there's no doubt that love is important. You cannot read the Bible without, even superficially, without being bombarded, as it were, with the whole necessity for love, and particularly love amongst God's people. And there's reasons for this. First of all, the Lord has commanded his people to love each other. And so once we see God commanding something, two things jump out at us. First of all, it's not an option anymore. We're told to do it. But secondly, with the command comes the power to obey. So 1 John 4, and this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So that's one reason that brotherly love is important. A second reason that brotherly love is important has to do with what we sometimes call our sense of assurance. Not the reality of whether God loves us, but our perception of God's love. So, writing again in chapter 3 of his letter, the Apostle John, he had started chapter 3 by saying, you know, "Now we are the children of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him." And he goes on then to say in verse 14, "We know we have passed from death to life." Now notice the sense of assurance there. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brothers. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Now notice how he's playing on those words there to emphasize his point. You can't literally abide in death. The two are contradictory. But he says that's the type of contradiction you're trying to live in if you don't love your brother and claim to be alive in God. We know we've passed from death to life. It's a great sense of assurance that our Christianity is real. Our relationship with God is real. It's not just some feeling. It's not just some phase we're going through. It's reality. We know it's reality because we love the brethren. The power to love our brothers manifested in us is the reality of the power of God in us, is the proof, if you like, that we are indeed true Christians. Thirdly, and very importantly, the reality of love among us as believers, and I'm making this point particularly to those who are believers tonight, not only assures us of our salvation, but it challenges the world of its need of salvation. In John 13, as Jesus spoke to his disciples at the Last Supper, he made this very, very telling argument, this very telling point to them. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If you remember, the scene opened there with the disciples sitting down. None of them would do the menial task of washing each other's feet. Normally the servant in the house you're invited to would do that for you, but they weren't going to a house as such. They were going to an upper room which they had acquired for the Passover. So there was nobody there to wash their feet. So rather than any one of them volunteering to wash their feet, they were just sitting down with unwashed feet. And then the amazing thing happens. Jesus takes a basin of water, girds himself with a towel, and one by one goes round them and he washes their feet, demonstrating the reality of his love for them. The Lord of the universe stooping down to do the work of a lowly servant. And in that context, he reminds them of the importance of love. By this, all will know you are my disciples. Not only will you know you're a disciple, but all will know you're a disciple if you have love one for another. So, in summary then, in this first section, brotherly love is important. The Bible puts a great emphasis on it. In the passage we began with, the Apostle John said, love is not that we love God first, but rather that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice that takes away our sins, the propitiation that takes away our sins. And then his punchline is this: brothers, if God so loved us, if God loved us to that extent, when we didn't love him first, we also ought to love one another. It's a command from God. It's the way we know we really are Christians. And it's the way that others looking in know also that we really are Christians too. We're going to go to our second piece of music. This one is called Lord, How Majestic You Are. Now, in the New Testament, there's a special name given for this brotherly love, this love for our brothers and sisters, this Philadelphia. And six times in the New Testament, this term is used. And we'll look at some of them here just to give you a flavour of what is meant by it and why it's important. In Romans 12 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love." Then he goes on to say what that actually looks like. In honour, giving preference to one another. And again, this is one of Paul's favourite themes. He comes back to it in Philippians 2 and so on. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." In other words, going back to the fact that this is something that's inherent, it's part of the package that comes with our conversion. Being made new people, new creatures in Christ Jesus, having the new birth, God, the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, teaches us, enables us, prompts us to love one another. In Hebrews 13 and verse 1, they are challenged to let brotherly love continue. This should be the beginning, middle, end, the continuing pattern of our Christian life. It's not just occasional flashes of brotherly love, like the occasional thunderstorms that light up the sky. It's meant to be as constant as the sun rising day by day. And Peter, in his first letter, he says, "Since you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Now again, look how he links together our conversion experience, being changed by God, being redeemed by Jesus, being cleansed by the Holy Spirit. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." This is something which should be the continuing mark of what it is to be a Christian. In his second letter, in chapter 1, he has this sort of wonderful passage which talks about the incremental growth in sanctification and growing in our relationship with God and the various graces and characteristics and gifts and fruits that mark that out. And he talks, you know, add to this something else. And when it comes to the end of the list, he says, add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So as we grow in all of these graces, it should always be trending in one direction. And if it's not trending in that direction, we're missing it. And that should be love for our brothers and sisters. So why would this be so important? Well, it's so important because what God is doing in redeeming a people to himself can also be described as recreating his image in sinners who were created originally to be like him. Back in the Garden of Eden, it's said of Adam and Eve that they were made in the image of God. And that image was sorely disfigured and destroyed almost through sin. But in the new birth, in the being made partakers of the divine nature, as Peter so graphically puts it, we would expect, wouldn't we, there would be a radical change in this whole area of love. God himself is love. We saw that in our opening reading, 1 John 4:8. God is love. The bottom line for my argument, John says, is because God is love. And in John 17, we're reminded that that love is at the heart of who God is. The Father loves the Son in the power of the Spirit. So you have this triunity of love that is God, that God himself is a relationship of love. That's why the Trinity, by the way, is so important, that God is an abstract love. He is literal love, which can only be possible if it's more than one person. Therefore, our spiritual condition, the measure that we are becoming like God, can only be measured really one way. That's growth in brotherly love. Again, it's not an abstract thing. It's not understanding the definition of love or being able to write wonderful essays about love. It's in loving. And the ones that God has given us to love are our brothers and sisters. So, secondly, firstly, we're like God. Secondly, God himself lives in us. The Bible again and again reminds us that we are the Lord's temple. Under the old covenant, the temple was a building in Jerusalem. Under the new covenant, it's the people of God themselves. Now, what a privilege this is. We are his dwelling place, and we're meant to be a thing of beauty, a thing that shouts to the world, of course this is where God lives. Look at the love that these people have for each other. We're meant to be filled by that which is most important to him, love. We cannot expect God to be pleased with us and to manifest his presence among us if we're grieving his Holy Spirit by a loveless life. So in 1 Corinthians, for example, the church is described as God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building. All of these scriptures I'm sure you're familiar with. 2 Corinthians, you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Echoing the great promises in the Exodus experience, now fully realized in the Church of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:22, Paul describes the relationship between believers, both Jews and Gentiles, this way: in whom you also are being built together. All of humanity together who believe in Jesus are being built for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The other great picture, of course, that the Bible gives us is that the church is a body. In 1 Corinthians 12, the church is more than a collection of individuals. It is a unit. And the unit, that the term that God uses to describe that unit, is one of the most intimate ones possible, a body. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we're like God, and the God that we are like by his Spirit lives in us because we're his temple. We're the body of Christ, animated by that Spirit of Christ, just as our own physical body is animated by our spirit. And we're a unit that's animated by the one Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. Doesn't matter where we come from, doesn't matter what our past is. The point that Paul is making here is that all these people who, humanly speaking, might find it difficult to get on together are now transformed and ought to live in that transformed way in love, because the one who is love dwells in them. Now, all of this, of course, is a reality, but it's a reality that manifests itself in gradual but real one-directional change. And we're going to look at that when we come back after the ad break. So do stay tuned to here on Dundalk FM, your community, your radio.